And I just saw that there's like a hurricane warning in Toronto. How does it look where you are?
Beautiful.
Oh, okay. So never mind then.
Yeah, beautiful. I'm very confused by this idea of a hurricane warning.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Those things don't really happen. Hurricanes take days to develop. They're tracked forever. And they come up from, like, the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know.
So how can we have, like, a hurricane warning out of nowhere?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. That's why we talk about sports. The Chris Colabella thing, I know I've talked to you about it, and you're one of those expecting him to regress and not expecting him to be a mainstay in left field for the Blue Jays this entire season. But, Mike, it's getting... I mean, it continues. And again, it's not a huge sample size, but it's not small. It's not like super small at this point. Are you any more of a believer? Is your mind still set on Chris Colabello?
Yeah, my mind's still set on Chris Colabello. I know that you know, the more good things that happen, the more people try to talk themselves into something being real. And I remember, and I'm not comparing the two, but I remember last year in the middle of May, you know, I got a few tweets saying, when will you finally admit that Juan Francisco is for real? And I was like, he's not, because he wasn't. And this isn't the same thing. Chris Colabella doesn't have the obvious, horrible approach that Juan Francisco had.
Right.
And that we knew he was going to turn into a pumpkin sooner than later. But, you know, this guy kicked around for 7 years in independent ball. He had a month of success at the major league level last year. Got hurt, fine. You know, he could be a serviceable big league power bat, but the chances that he's going to wind up being an everyday hitter, a middle of the order major leaguer, are extraordinarily low. But enjoy the hell out of it while it's going on. I mean, they have needed him desperately this last month, and he's certainly provided for them.
Well, then, what are your other options in left field when Jose Bautista returns? I mean, Ezekiel Carrera has done all right. He's shown flashes of being a league average hitter. If it's not Chris Colabello, who is it? And if it's not Michael Saunders?
It's Chris Colabello until he stops hitting.
Right.
And it's probably Chris Colabello for a while after he stops hitting, because that's how long it'll take people to notice that he stopped hitting.
Yeah.
I think he had like a 2-for-19 run. And I was thinking, oh, okay, so this is where we're going. And then he had a 3-hit day, and he's been terrific since. So, you know, hopefully, you never know. He may be able to do it for a year. The very rare is the guy who has. But he could be able to do it, even if he can do it for another month. That would be phenomenal for the Blue Jays. And that's what they need, because they're getting zero offensive production out of center field.
Yep.
And left field hasn't exactly been a prize either. So he's been the saving grace of this team while they waited for Reyes, and while they continue to wait for Travis to come back and for Bautista to move back to the outfield.
Okay, when Bautista returns to right field, who knows?
One hopes that's Monday.
Yeah, and all indications are that it will be Monday. He's upped it. He's throwing over 100 feet now. Are you in favor of giving Ezekiel Carrera the occasional look in center field? Because Kevin Pillar, I mean, to say he's underperformed offensively would be an understatement. It's been horrendous, and I know he had 2 hits yesterday. But are you in favor of giving somebody else the occasional look in center field? I know the defense has been great from Kevin Pillar, but I don't know. As poor a hitter as Ezekiel Carrera is, I don't know. Maybe he's got more to offer with the bat than Kevin Pillar.
He might. He very well might not, and the defense would be a massive drop-off.
He's not a rancid defender, though.
No, he's not a terrible, and he's not a terrible center fielder either. He's not great, and Pillar is great, but I'm interested to see what happens today and tomorrow. I mean, Pillar had a good game on Wednesday, hit a couple of balls really hard and got a hit, scorched those 2 hits that he had. I mean, yesterday they could have been, they could have both been out. They were that close, but they were line drives and they were hit really well. You know, it's confounding as to why Kevin Pillar hasn't been able to maintain a decent approach in the major leagues.
Oh.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it is.
I don't know. To me, I look at his approach and I look at a guy who maybe with that same approach can succeed in the minor leagues because there's way more mistakes, Mike.
But I mean, you can't succeed at any level if you're constantly behind in the count, if you're swinging at pitches that are off the plate all the time, striking yourself out all the time, getting yourself a bad count. You can't. I mean, you just can't be a 300 hitter.
Right.
If that's your approach. And I got to imagine that in the minor leagues, Pilar was a different hitter. I mean, I never saw him.
That's the thing. All I have to go on is the numbers, and the walk numbers are very low throughout his entire minor league career. And I mean, if that's, you know, an indication of his plate discipline.
Who don't walk, still manage to get themselves in good hitting situations. There are guys who, you know, can't resist any 3-1 pitch. And maybe in the minor leagues, those 3-1 pitches are a lot fatter than they are in the majors. And that's probably very true. But you can't be a good hitter unless you're in good hitting counts a lot of the time. And Pilar just isn't in the major league.
It's weird, right? Like, I know when he first came up, he couldn't lay off any breaking ball. I mean, a right-handed pitcher throwing him a slider outside in the dirt, I mean, that was a swing 90% of the time. And there's been times...
two strikes probably 98% of the time.
Right, and there's been times during his career since then that we've said, oh, you know what? I see a definite change in his ability to lay off those pitches. But then he goes back. I don't know. There's just too many bad pitches that are being swung at by Kevin Pillar. And is it as simple as just, you know, I don't know, does he have to go a couple at bats where he takes until he's got two strikes on him? Or I don't know. How do you combat that?
I think he's just got to get out of his own head. I really do. I see anxious from him at the plate. And maybe he's chasing his batting average a little bit now, trying to get, you know, 5 hits and 3 at-bats. I don't know what it is, but I see jumpy and I see anxious. And that's not a route to success. And you got to beat that out of him somehow. And maybe it's another trip to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many more of those you can do.
Right. Well, and I don't know who the option is coming the other way as well. I mean,
who knows? It might be outside the organization. If there are a couple of teams that are looking to move surplus outfielders, you never know.
Mike, you covered this team for a long time. I'm sure there is a guy, and I'm sure there is a situation that compares. I can't think of one off the top of my head. Maybe you can. To Josh Donaldson, what he's done. I know he's hit a home run in the last 4 games, but the last 3 games, hitting the walk-off, hitting the game-tying home run in the 9th, and then hitting the tying home run yesterday in the 5th inning. Can you remember a guy who was on this kind of quote-unquote clutch run that Josh Donaldson's on?
Yeah, no. I'm sure it's happened too, and I'm sure it's lost to memory, but I mean, I've covered some really, really good Blue Jays teams, but that was a long time ago. I'm sure it's happened, but it's pretty amazing. I mean, to do it twice in the 9th inning off of David Robertson, who's one of the best closers in the game, and then last night, as I pointed out in my article on the sportsnet.com that everybody should be reading, it might as well have been the 9th inning last night when he did it in the 5th in the rain when you're down by 3 runs, right? If the Blue Jays don't come back
right
and tie the game in the 5th,
that's right,
then you may lose the game to rain within the next 10 minutes.
You're right. That was like the 9th inning, essentially.
Yeah, it was. And so, you know, that just increases the hugitude of that home run as well. I don't know how long he can keep this up, but it's very clear. I mean, Josh Donaldson is as advertised. This is one of the best players in the major leagues, and he is on fire right now.
Yeah, he's pretty good, and the Blue Jays are happy to have him.
Absolutely.
The starting pitching has really been improved recently, Mike. That Mark Burley start after the first inning yesterday was hilarious in how great it was after that point.
Retired the last, or
in the minimum,
faced the last 26 batters and got 26 outs in the last 26 batters,
right,
which is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this is a guy who has a perfect game under his belt, so it's not totally foreign to him by any stretch of the imagination. Were you maybe scratching your head a little bit early in the season, thinking that maybe Mark Burley wouldn't get back to his numbers? I know you said everybody. all five starters were not going to be as bad as they were, and I agreed with you. I just, you know, some of them, I wondered how good their numbers would look at the end of the season. And, yeah, you know, Burley and Dickey, especially because of the age, at some point they're going to drop off. Did you what did you expect out of Mark Burley?
He was the one I was the most concerned about, but yeah, I still believe that, you know, people are who they are, and everybody gets back to their level. And as you age, you decline, sure, but you don't fall right off a cliff in one off season. So
it can happen.
It's so rare that happens because of just age and nothing else. So I was confident that both Burley and Dickey would kind of get back to normalcy and back to their, well, for Burley, career numbers, for Dickey, career as a knuckleballer numbers. But I did think absolutely that Mark Burley was going to be a six-inning pitcher from here on out, that the 200-inning seasons were over, and that the Blue Jays were just going to get what they could out of him and get him out. And he has certainly proven that wrong, absolutely.
Marco Estrada has looked pretty good in the rotation as well. You know, I think we had diverging opinions. I think it was on a pre-game show, and I talked about the underlying numbers being good for Mark Burley, and he'll be Mark Burley, and maybe you said what you just said to me before. And I think I went the other way on Estrada, and you expected Estrada to be a reasonable starting pitcher, and he has been that, and then some for the Blue Jays.
That proves, if nothing else, that you should listen to me more.
Well, but you should have listened to me on Burley. So how about that? How about we should just...
No. You said Burley was done.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I absolutely said the opposite.
It was over.
No, I didn't. I said Dickey might have been done.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah, because I saw that the strikeout numbers were down and everything else was the same.
Yeah, I was very concerned about the lack of strikeouts. I remember that well. Look, Marco Estrada, it amazes me how much people are willing to look at small samples and consider that to be a thing. Marco Estrada gave up a crap load of home runs in the first half of last season.
Yeah.
He's not a guy who historically has been phenomenal at keeping the ball in the park or anything like that. But last season, he gave up 25 home runs before the All-Star break. Then he went to the bullpen, and he gave up two home runs in the second half of the season, throwing like 45 innings, which is pretty high for a relief pitcher in half the season. For his, you know, the 3 years before that, this is a guy who sat with a whip around 1.1. You know, he was a really, really effective pitcher. And I don't know if it was chicken littling or whatever. Oh, he's going to give up five home runs a game. You bring him to the Rogers Center. This guy's terrible. All he does is give up home runs. And no, that's not the thing. If Marco Estrada is going to give up a home run a game, that's fine. Because most of the time when Marco Estrada gives up a home, or, you know, three home runs every two games, that's fine. Most of the time when he gives them up, there's nobody on base because he's really good at keeping people off the bases. And that's far more important than his home run rate.
All this being said, and all the positive things that can be said about the rotation the last, you know, couple times through, if everybody stays healthy, what do you think the odds are that this is the starting five all throughout the rest of the season?
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I think they'd like to work Daniel Norris back in at some point. He's got to start pitching well. He's got to stop walking people in Buffalo. But I think they would like to move him back in at some point. Maybe Estrada goes to the bullpen and becomes, you know, I see Marco Estrada as a better version of Carlos Villanueva. And I think that's how they used him over the course of the entire season. But we'll see. Norris has to pitch better. He was better last time out in Buffalo than the start before, but he still walked four guys in six innings. So, you know, we need to see the guy that the Blue Jays saw in July and August of last year and that we saw in spring training in March. And until that happens, I don't think he's coming back.
Do we need, is that the only part of this, of the equation that we need, is that Norris pitches well, or do you need Estrada to underperform as well? Because it'd be tough for a veteran and a guy with the track record like him to just pluck him out of the rotation the way he's pitched right now.
At some point, there will be a couple of rough starts in a row, I would think, for somebody, for anybody. And you know what? Well, I don't think they're thinking Sanchez to the bullpen anymore, but the bullpen is, you know, if Bo Schultz doesn't work out and the bullpen's starting to get a little scary again. I don't know what it'll take, but if Norris is blowing the doors off down there, you got to bring him back up.
What if Felix Dubron is blowing the doors off in AAA?
If Felix Dubron is blowing the doors off in AAA and you have a need, then you go to him. But otherwise, I think you let him keep blowing the doors off. I mean, he was pretty awful for the Cubs last year. He was solid for the Red Sox, but I think when you look beneath the numbers, it wasn't that good. It was bad, but it wasn't as good as it looked. But he's not a guy I would try to wedge into a spot if there wasn't one. And the same with Randy Wolf.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on Randy Wolf. We haven't heard much about Johan Santana. Is he still alive?
As far as I know, yeah.
He's still in the organization doing whatever, collecting a paycheck?
Well, I mean, I wasn't expecting him till August anyway.
Really? August?
This is going to be a long, well, I wasn't expecting him at all. I have said many times that anything they get from him is gravy. This is a guy who's pitched, 115 innings in the major leagues in the last 5 years.
Sure.
So it's a long, slow process, and whatever he feels he needs, he should be doing in order to get back and see if he can perform again. Because if he can, that'd be awful swell.
Would have been cool to see him pitch in Minnesota, too. Too bad. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, maybe in October.
Yeah, maybe. That would be really weird on, a number of different fronts, Mike.
Many, many different levels.
Yeah. All right, enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you in mere moments. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
There's Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball, on his way in. Pre-game show starts at 1:30. Blue Jays in Minnesota playing game 2 of 3 against the Twins.